The word of God given to us today are Luke chapter 23, verses 1 through 7. It is page 137 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Messiah, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Amen. Acts records the Apostle Paul's first, second, and third mission trips, and him being taken to Rome and detained as a prisoner. While the first and second mission trips visited various regions to preach the kingdom of God, most of the third mission trip was spent in Ephesus. During his third mission trip that lasted for about 4 years, Paul preached the gospel of the kingdom of God at a synagogue for 3 months and at the lecture hall of Tyrannus for 2 years. Paul confesses that he taught here for 3 years. So many people, both Jews and Gentiles, heard about the kingdom of God. And supernatural events also unfolded. Paul worked as a tent maker during the day and preached about the kingdom of God at night. People took the handkerchief that Paul carried or the apron he wore, and just by placing it on a sick person, the sick person was cured and evil spirits were driven out. After seeing the evil spirit being driven out, many people came and confessed what they had done, and people who made a living by practicing magic collected their magic books and burned them, the value of which was 50,000 drachmas of silver. At that time, one drachma was 1 day's wages for one person. 50,000 drachmas is the amount that a person would have to save for 137 years without spending a single penny while working without a single day off. Since the price of the books of the Ephesian magicians alone was that much, the money that people of Ephesus took to the magicians must have been incomparably greater than the price of the books. At the time, an important means of making money for the Ephesian magicians was amulets called Ephesian letters. The amulet was believed to make people's wishes come true. People firmly believed that as long as they had that amulet, their children would grow up well without getting sick. They would not encounter accidents or robbers while traveling, and that they would be successful in love and business. And the people of Ephesus thought that the amulet had the greatest power in the world. And the following story is told based on this belief. There was a wrestler who was very strong. He won every competition he entered. Many wrestlers tried to defeat him, but he was so powerful that no one could. He was found wearing an amulet of Ephesus on his ankle. So, when the amulet was removed, his strength was gone, and he soon lost the game. Seeing the magician's books burned and reduced to a handful of ashes, the magicians and those who followed them must have turned back from their past lives, asking, "How have we lived all this time?" However, there was something more famous in Ephesus than the amulet, which was the temple of the goddess Artemis. There are the seven wonders of the world. It refers to the seven most miraculous structures created by human hands. There are many kinds of seven wonders, but the first person to select seven wondrous buildings was Antipater of Sidon, a Greek poet of around the 2nd century BC. The seven wonders selected by him include the Great Pyramid of Giza, which is the only remaining ruin to this day located in the Giza area near Cairo, the capital of Egypt, and the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, a huge garden said to have existed in the ancient Babylonian Empire. It also includes the Temple of Artemis in Ephesus. The goddess Artemis in Greek mythology is Diana in Roman mythology. Artemis was the daughter of Zeus and the sister of Apollo. While Apollo was the sun god, Artemis was the moon god and a symbol of production and abundance. The temple was said to be 137 meters long, 69 meters wide, 18 meters high, and had 127 pillars. It is said that there was a saying like this in ancient Greece: as the sun takes its course, nothing can be seen that is more beautiful than the temple of Artemis. When the temple was built, the women of Ephesus donated their bracelets, necklace, and jewelry to decorate the temple. And it is said that Alexander the Great offered to donate the plunder he had acquired during his expedition to the east if his name would be engraved on the temple, but was flatly refused. The temple was also a haven for criminals. If a person had committed a crime and escaped into the temple grounds, the law could not govern him. Here, the temple grounds do not only mean the interior of the temple, but according to what is said, it extended to the area where an arrow could be reached when shot from the top of the temple. It is said that an arrow shot from the top of the temple when it was completed miraculously flew about 200 meters. Therefore, the area around the Temple of Artemis was like a gathering place for criminals from all over Asia Minor, a place that was considered sacred by people was actually a hotbed of criminals. There was a silversmith named Demetrius in Ephesus who made and sold model temples of the goddess Artemis. So, the people who made model temples made a lot of money. The model temple made of silver had a recessed space, so people would express their faith by putting things they considered sacred there. It was like a personal shrine. Demetrius gathered people who worked in his factory and others who did the same work and started a riot. This is Acts chapter 19, verses 25 to 26. He called them together along with the workers in related trades and said, "You know, my friends, that we receive a good income from this business. And you see and hear how this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus and in practically the whole province of Asia. He says that gods made by human hands are not gods at all. Demetrius and the people who made and sold model temples were shocked by Paul, not because of the gospel of the kingdom of God that Paul preached, but because they were worried. Their abundant lives and income were shrinking. However, Demetrius did not incite the people by saying, 'The size of our homes will be becoming smaller and we cannot enjoy luxuries,' or 'Our income has decreased miserably.' But he cleverly hid his intentions and cited a noble-sounding reason. This is Acts chapter 19, verse 27. There is danger not only that our trade will lose its good name, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited, and the goddess herself, who is worshipped throughout the province of Asia and the world, will be robbed of her divine majesty." Demetrius gave three reasons. Firstly, there will be a risk that the reputation of this profession of making and selling model temples will be degraded. Secondly, then the temple of Artemis, which is the body of the model temple, will naturally be regarded as lowly. And thirdly, Demetrius gave... there is strong possibility that the majesty of the goddess Artemis will fall to the ground, not only in Asia Minor, where Ephesus was located, but all other region. Demetrius disguises the decline in economic profits as a decline in love for his country and religion. So they grabbed Gaius and Aristarchus from Paul's group and dragged them to the theater, where they rioted for 2 hours shouting, "The goddess Artemis of Ephesians is great." In the theater, some people shouted this and others shouted that, causing the meeting to fall into confusion. And there were a lot of people who didn't know why they were there. People like those who made and sold model temples of Artemis are extremely selfish and cunning beings. Although they pursue an affluent life, wealth, and prosperity, they often pretend otherwise and present themselves as if they are full of love for their country and religion. Today's passage also clearly shows how selfish and cunningly humans hide their intentions. This is verse 1. "Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate." Jesus was about to be crucified, and after praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was taken to the high priest's house by religious leaders, soldiers, and other people. There, the council of the Sanhedrin was held. The Sanhedrin, which served as Israel's highest court at the time, did not hold trials at night and held trials only during the day to ensure fair law enforcement. However, the religious leaders, including high priests, illegally arrested and interrogated Jesus at night due to their incorrect and indiscreet judgment that Jesus should be sentenced to death. Most of the members of the Sanhedrin were people who served God, but God was not present in their thoughts, judgments, or actions. And they became prosecutors and judges themselves. Religious leaders and people not only taunted Jesus with all kinds of insults all night long, but also blindfolded Jesus and interrogated him using violence. Soon the day dawned, so they took Jesus to Pilate. These were the crimes the crowd accused Jesus of. This is verse 2. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be the Messiah, a king." There were three crimes that the crowd unreasonably accused Jesus of. First is the act of deceiving people, that is, a crime of disturbing public sentiment. Second, an act of forbidding them to pay taxes to Caesar, that is, a crime of tax evasion. And third, an act of claiming to be Christ the king, that is, an act of impersonating a king or a crime of treason. In fact, even just one of these was a fatal sin, but people claimed that Jesus was guilty of all three. But this was all false. Jesus had never deceived the people. Jesus ate and drank with the socially marginalized and criticized, and treated them with respect. He healed people suffering from various diseases, including leprosy, and made them healthy. In particular, he removed demons from people who were possessed by demons and restored their lives by having them return to their families. In addition to the people who were hungry while listening to the sermon in the field of Bethsaida, the disciples suggested that they send the people to each village or rural area so that they could get food, but Jesus abundantly satisfied the people's hunger with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Also, a spy sent by religious leaders asked questions to trap Jesus. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar, or is it not right? He asked. At the time, Jesus said, "Render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's," and told the people to correctly fulfill their duty to their country and their duty to God. He also asked Peter to go to the sea, Lake of Galilee, and fish. And if he opens the mouth of the first fish he catches, he will receive a shekel of silver, 4 days' worth of wages, which he is to pay as taxes for him and Jesus. So the accusation that Jesus campaigned against paying taxes was also false. And when Jesus fed 5,000 adult men and 10,000 to 20,000 people, including adult women and children, with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, people tried to force Jesus to become king. This was because the people thought someone who had such abilities would be able to solve their economic problems. But Jesus escaped from the crowd and went alone to the mountain. Because Jesus did not come to this world only to solve people's economic problems. In fact, the Jews, including religious leaders, accused Jesus of being hostile to the Roman government. But in reality, they accused him because he was not hostile. The Jews wanted someone as powerful as Jesus to be hostile to Rome. If Jesus had performed various miracles, recognized the rituals performed by religious leaders, started a movement to refuse taxes to Rome, and claimed to be king, they would have fully supported Jesus. However, Jesus was critical of the corrupt Jewish religious leaders who were blocking the flow of God's grace. This was what the religious leaders could not stand. So, this is verse 3. So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. Pilate only asked about the last of the three accusations Jesus made against the Jews made against Jesus. This was because if this one thing was certain, it would be enough to execute him. However, the Gospel of John tells us that when Pilate asked this question, Jesus also answered with a question. This is John chapter 18, verse 34. "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" Jesus asked Pilate to confirm whether the question he asked Jesus, "Are you the king of Jews?" was based on Pilate's own judgment or based on the accusations made by the Jews. If the case was the former, his own judgment, the meaning of king was political king, so the answer should have been no. If the case was the latter, the accusation by the Jews, the meaning of king was religious messiah, so the answer should have been yes. Pilate asked if Jesus was king in the latter sense. So, rather than asking Jesus, "Are you the king?" Pilate asked, "Are you the Messiah, the King of Jews?" Of course, Jesus responded, "You are right." So, Pilate went outside and said the following. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." Pilate declared to the religious leaders, including the high priests, a group of Jews, that Jesus had no sin. Pilate, as governor, would not have known about Jesus' practices. If Jesus had tried to incite the people, refused to pay taxes, and act as the king of the world, as the Jews accused him of, Governor Pilate would have already arrested Jesus before the Jews accused him. Additionally, as the supreme commander in Judea, Pilate knew well about the Jews. The Jews were by no means loyal to the Roman Empire. Among the Jews were zealots. Among Jesus' 12 disciples, Simon, named Zealot, belonged to this group. The Zealot Party is similar to the independence fighter group of Korea during the Japanese colonial period. The decisive motive for the formation of the Zealots was the census of the Roman Empire conducted for the purpose of tax collection and conscription. And in Jewish society, the people who were most criticized were tax collectors. This was because they worked for the Roman Empire. As such, the Jews hated the Roman Empire. It was truly absurd for those Jews to drag Jesus to Pilate, accusing him of acting against the rule of the Roman Empire. Pilate, who knew this, said that Jesus had no sin. Before Pilate questioned Jesus, he asked the Jews who had brought Jesus why they were accusing Jesus in such early hours of the morning. The Jews answered. This is John chapter 18, verse 30. If he was not a criminal, they replied, we would not have handed him over to you. The literal meaning of the term evildoer that is used in the Korean version is one who creates evil. In other words, it refers to a person who commits evil in everything he does. In fact, the Jews who accused Jesus are saying this because they themselves are evildoers. This is John chapter 18, verse 31. Pilate said, take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. But we have no right to execute anyone, they objected. Pilate, who realized that the reason the Jewish crowd had dragged Jesus before him was because of religious reasons, ordered that Jesus be judged according to their religious laws. But did the Jews really have no right to kill people? As we all know, there's a story in John chapter 8 about a woman who was caught committing adultery. At that time, the Jews, including the scribes and Pharisees, tried to stone the woman to death. If Jesus had not said, let him who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her, the woman would have died that day. Acts chapter 7 tells the story of Stephen. The Jews who heard the word of God delivered by Stephen felt a prick in their hearts and gnashed their teeth at him. Then they dragged Stephen out of the city and stoned him to death. As such, the Jews clearly had the authority to stone people to death according to their religious laws. Nevertheless, the fact that they raised their voices before Pilate that they had no authority to kill anyone meant that they did not have the authority to sentence Jesus to death and crucify him. This is because sentencing a prisoner to death by crucifixion was only possible under Roman law, and Roman law could only be executed by the Roman governor. If so, these questions may come to mind. Why did the religious leaders, including the high priest and other Jews, insist on putting Jesus to death on the cross when they could have put him to death according to the religious law? Why did they accuse Jesus of being a political offender even though he was not, and insist on crucifixion? It was to create a situation as if the words of Deuteronomy chapter 21 verse 23 were fulfilled. This is the verse. You must not leave the body hanging on the pole overnight. Be sure to bury it that same day, because anyone who is hung on a pole is under God's curse. When Jesus went to Jerusalem to bear the cross, the first thing that he did was drive out the merchants from the temple and overturn the tables of money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. Starting from the time of Exodus, God required men over the age of 20 to pay a life ransom of half a shekel every year. Half a shekel was 2 days' wages for a worker at the time. That half a shekel was called the holy half shekel and was used for the tabernacle. The ransom for that life had to be paid equally by all men over the age of 20, regardless of whether they were rich or poor. However, the reason a money changer was needed to pay the half shekel was because the half shekel was not received in Jewish silver, but only in other silver. The person who changed the money received 1/24 of the half shekel as an exchange fee. If the daily wage were 120,000 won, a half shekel is 240,000 won, and 10,000 won would be charged as a currency exchange fee. Jesus overturned the tables of these people. There were also merchants inside the temple selling animals to be sacrificed. Not only did you have to pay an inspection fee if you brought an animal from outside for a sacrifice, but the inspectors would make all sorts of excuses to find defects and then send the animal back, stating it was unsuitable for sacrifice. Therefore, those who wanted to offer sacrifices had no choice but to buy animals sold within the temple. However, it is said that the price of animals outside the temple and the price of animals inside the temple had a 20 times difference. So a sheep worth 300,000 won outside the temple is worth 6 million won inside the temple. Jesus in particular overturned the chairs of those selling pigeons. For the poor who could not sacrifice sheep, God had them sacrifice doves instead. The price of pigeons was 20 times more expensive inside the temple than outside. They exploited so much that Jesus called the temple a den of robbers. The store inside the temple was known as Annas' booth. The incumbent high priest at the time was Caiaphas, and his father-in-law was Annas. In other words, the store in the temple was a place of business of the high priest's family. The appearance of Jesus was seen by the high priest as a challenge to his position and economic interests. Also, Jesus' teachings had authority that no one else had and were different from the teachings of the scribes who were called teachers of the time. Therefore, the scribes and other religious leaders viewed Jesus as a nuisance that threatened their vested interests. So, what they wanted was not simply to kill Jesus, but to kill him by hanging him on a tree or a cross. Because only then would it be made known to the world that Jesus died after being cursed by God, and this would solidify that Jesus was not from God. Also, only by doing so would all of Jesus' teachings become worthless, so that no one would follow him after his death. This is because they knew better than anyone else that the Jews would never associate with those cursed by God. Religious leaders, including the high priest and the evil Jews, were trying to make Jesus cursed by God by hanging him on the cross. And finally, they achieved their goal. But they probably didn't know the fact that Jesus took the punishment on the cross on behalf of all mankind, overcame death, and was resurrected, showing that he's not Christ, the self-proclaimed king they had shouted, but Christ, the true eternal king. So, for the Jews who regarded Jesus as an evildoer, the cross was a symbol of death and curse. But for us, the cross became a sign of salvation and resurrection. Jesus was described by the high priests, other religious leaders and evil Jews as a person who deceived the people, as a dissident who opposed paying taxes to Emperor Caesar, as a person who claimed to be the king and impersonated the king, and as a plotter of treason. Even though he was framed, he was able to become an eternal savior and victor by obeying to the point of being hung on the cross, because that was the path God wanted. So, under no circumstances will God's word and God's will be obstructed. So, those who believe that in all things God works for the good can always live in hope, obey God's will in any situation, and become a channel of God in their lives. And that person becomes an eternal victor, like the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, the people who made and sold the Temple of Artemis in Ephesus lived an affluent life, but they feared that their income would decrease and that their abundance would decrease due to the gospel of the kingdom of God preached by Paul. And they incited people by packaging their intentions with clever words. Sometimes our own thoughts, words, and actions appear different to how they actually are. May our hearts always face God, and may this be shown by serving others. The religious leaders and crowd, including the high priest who dragged Jesus to Pilate, accused Jesus with false information in order to protect their religious interests, make themselves stand out, and pursue worldly desires. Although we say we believe in and follow the Lord, we confess that there have been many times ourselves and our desires served as our motive. Help us escape the foolishness of trying to use the Lord to achieve our will or our desires, and help us not to try to deal with the Lord, but never forget for a moment that we must be dealt with by the Lord, that we can follow the Lord throughout our lives and obey Him. Father God, even though it seems like evil is always rampant in this world and evil is triumphing over good, please help us trust that God is renewing the world in your way and through your people. On the surface, it appears that Jesus unjustly died on the cross following slander and lawlessness. But let us not forget that it was the path of salvation that was determined by God. So help us trust in God who, in our lives, works for the good. And let us our lives become channels of accomplishing God's will. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.